and a very warm welcome to the IAA Mobility Visionary Club. My name is Sarah Harmon. I'm going to be hosting today's episode. Here on the Mobility Visionary Club, we are talking about the cutting edge of mobility, sustainable solutions, and bringing in experts, visionaries, and industry leaders to bring you up to speed on everything you need to know to keep you moving. Today, I am very pleased to introduce our inaugural guest. She is the president of VDA, that's the German Association of the Automotive Industry, and she's a woman who knows a lot about the future of mobility. Hildegard Müller, welcome. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Sarah, very much. Yes, I think we are all in a time of change. The automotive industry is facing major challenges that require our innovative strength and determination. Climate change, digitization, changing mobility needs, and geopolitical uncertainties, all of these factors are challenging us. One of the most challenges is climate change. The automotive industry has a responsibility to make its contribution to reducing greenhouse gas emissions. This means that we need to make our production processes more sustainable. We need to drive forward the development of electric vehicles and alternative drive technologies. Sustainability is not just a trend, it's a necessity for our sector and for the entire industry and at least for the whole world. However, it is also a trend that must be supported by the right political framework conditions. We need a better charging infrastructure throughout Europe, for example. We need a comprehensive expansion of the electric grids. We need openness to technologies and markets. We need a better infrastructure overall. We need enough energy and raw materials. Only then we will be able to provide as many people as possible with mobility that meets their needs. In order to take advantage of the opportunities offered by new trends, we also need a better digital infrastructure. This applies, for example, to the expansion of 5G networks. Digitization is revolutionizing our daily lives. It is changing the way we experience mobility. Connected vehicles, autonomous driving, and intelligent transportation systems are no longer visions for the future. They are already available. These technologies offer immense opportunities, but also challenges. Opportunities because new technologies allow us all unimagined flexibility. Challenges, for example, because data must be handled carefully and cybersecurity risks must be identified at an early stage. Finding solutions to such challenges is a top priority for our industry. The way people use mobility is changing rapidly. Urbanization and the desire for more flexible mobility solutions require us to develop new concepts. In the bigger cities, for example, it's car sharing, ride-hailing, micro-mobility, and multimodal transport services are just a few examples of these new forms of mobility. We have to focus on the needs of users by maximizing the efficiency and environmental compatibility for our solutions. In addition to the technological and ecological challenges, there are also geopolitical uncertainties, trade conflicts, political instability, and global supply chain problems require us to act flexibly and resiliently. We need to diversify our business models. We need to strengthen global partnerships in order to stay relevant in uncertain times. In the midst of this complex field of tension, the IAA Mobility 2025 offers a unique platform for dialogue and collaboration. With a new claim, it's all about mobility. The IAA Mobility will enter a new era in Munich from September 9th to 14th in 2025. The claim underlines its position as a global platform for mobility, sustainability, and technological innovation. It is an innovation hub that brings together industrial leaders, startups, scientists, and political decision makers. The IAA Mobility is a place to present the latest technologies and concepts. It's the ideal space to exchange experience and work together on solutions. The importance of the IAA Mobility for the automotive industry is paramount. At a time when the industry needs to reinvent itself, the IAA Mobility offers the stage to present groundbreaking innovations to a global audience. It promotes the exchange between established companies and up-and-coming startups. This leads to new partnerships and collaborations. In addition, the IAA Mobility reflects the mood and trends within the industry. It paints a comprehensive picture of current developments and challenges. The IAA Mobility brings people and companies together. It brings together inspiration, innovations, and visions. By bringing together stakeholders from different sectors, the IAA Mobility promotes the development of integrated mobility solutions. This makes it possible to meet the requirements of the future. The IAA Mobility offers space for the exchange of ideas and best practices. It drives progress in our industry. And at the same time, it acts as a catalyst for cooperation between industry and politics in order to create the right framework conditions for innovation. Let us see the challenges of our times as an opportunity. Together, we can shape the mobility of tomorrow more sustainable, more connected, and more digital. The IAA Mobility offers us the stage to share our visions. Let us use this chance to actively drive forward the transformation of the mobility industry. Together, we are laying the foundations for sustainable and innovative mobility. Let's make it all about mobility. The mission statement of the year 2025. Visit the IAA Mobility 2025 in Munich and see what the future looks like. I look forward to seeing you there. Thank you.
Pamela, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it as well in Munich 2025. I loved that you challenged us to look forward to the future. And Pamela, I want to go back to something that you said in your talk. You mentioned that sustainable mobility requires a better political framework and infrastructure. Tell us a little bit about what specific actions you'd like to see from politicians and what exactly the German Association of the Automotive Industry is asking for in this regard.
Yeah, what we see from politics are sometimes too often micromanagement, detailed bureaucracy, and detailed concepts at all. I think we have to create a framework where the German automotive industry, for example, can compete with better situation to produce, for example, in Germany. When I look at the energy costs, when I look at the question, do we have raw materials? Do we have treaties with other regions and so on? We are in a global industry and we're thinking global. And so we need global market approach and global market content. That's very important. And the other thing we see, especially right in this year, the people are, they have to change their mind from their combustion engine to the question of electromobility. And for them, it's very necessary to have infrastructure wherever they are, at what time ever they want to charge the cars. And there is a lot of need to intensify the efforts to have enough charging stations and power grids for this in Germany, but for example, also in other countries. So especially in Europe, that's leading with its targets for electromobility, we need really a better infrastructure. And so we have to build a whole ecosystem, not only thinking of driving a car or something like this. We need the ecosystem to be competitive in a world that has more competitiveness than ever and have solutions for the customers. So everything, we have to look on the eyes of our customers on the situation. What do they need to feel comfortable with a new kind of mobility?
Yeah, a lot of challenges, but also a lot of opportunities. You mentioned that to address trade conflicts, political instability, and these global supply chain issues that are affecting us, we need diversified business models, but also global partnerships. How can the German automotive industry prepare for this?
I mean, we are prepared because we are a very global industry. We are delivering cars from the United States over Europe to Asia, China, and wherever. So we live in this worldwide competitiveness. But we see at the moment that more and more protectionism is coming up, that markets are closed for foreign cars and so on. And that's a huge challenge for us. Overall, I think for the international growing welfare and especially for climate protection, we need to work more together, not to build closed markets and to think only in countries. And so we need a global thinking for solutions for climate protection. And so we have to work together. We live in different markets. We see different customers. We have different political frameworks, but we can't deal the challenge of protectionism.
Yeah, it's such an important point you make there. You've talked about the importance of technological openness for the future of the automotive industry. I'd love to hear from you how IAA Mobility is highlighting this, and maybe on a more baseline level, what does technological openness mean to you?
We have a clear focus on electromobility, to make this clear. And so we invest a lot. So for example, in the next few years, over 280 billion euros in new technologies, electromobility, and so on. So there's clear focus and a clear direction. But at the end of the day, in different countries, and also in Germany, there could be also the necessity of different technology solutions. For example, synthetic fuels could be an answer, especially when you think about the current fleet. We have in Germany around about 45 million cars with combustion engine. We want to change it rapidly up to 2030, for example, to 15 million electric cars. And we still have 35 million cars that are driving with combustion engine. When we want to reach our climate goals, then we also have the discussion, what can we have to overcome fossil fuels? And then synthetic fuels can be an answer. Or in special regions where the charging infrastructure is not quite well, could also be. And we have some regions in the world where the fuel cell is an answer because they have another energy supply like we have. So the goal is to protect our climate, not to protect a special possibility of driving. And so we need this technology openness to have the best solutions wherever in the world you are.
Yeah, as you say, protecting the climate is in everyone's best interest. We've got a question here coming to us from Marcus Schmienz. I hope I'm saying your last name. Thank you for the question, Marcus. He says, it would be great to hear your perspective on the European automotive industry. What's needed and who needs to do what to secure and enhance the global competitiveness and sovereignty with new products and services of future sustainable mobility? So the European automotive industry. Thank you, Marcus. It's a great question. And Hildegard, I'll put that to you.
I think at the end, the European automotive industry has the most challenging goals to protect the climate. When you look at other regions, they don't have such tough goals like we have. And then we have to prepare also in the European Union the best framework condition, as I mentioned, beyond. So I think in special questions, Europe has to work more closely together. For example, and then a European idea of energy policy, just to mention something, or reducing bureaucracy, and so on. This could be very helpful to make Europe powerful in a world with more and more geopolitical threats we are. And when we have a powerful industry, I think it's also good for us to talk in other regions and give advice and give ideas of technologies for other regions, so on. So that's why I mentioned we need the technology openness. It would be helpful to have this. Only to mention two things. I could answer a lot of more, but competitive framework conditions, open markets, treaties, more treaties like we have. We have a long list of open treaties between Europe and other parts of the world. We need solutions for that and technology openness.
Let's come back to this idea of solutions. You know, we hear about artificial intelligence all the time right now. Where do you see opportunities for artificial intelligence to accelerate this transition to sustainable mobility?
I think thinking in the whole supply chain, this is one thing. For the production of cars and trucks and so on, this is one thing. But also when you look at the consumer perspective, the possibility of AI is great. When you think of autonomous driving and the question how to secure autonomous driving on one side, and what do you do with your time when you drive autonomous and so on. So it's overall a framework that's necessary. We need to protect the data. We have to think on cybersecurity questions, especially, for example, when we drive autonomous. But at the end of the day, there are great opportunities. Think about autonomous driving, even not only in the bigger cities. Mostly we discuss mobility from the eyes of people living in big cities. But for example, in Germany, we have 60% of our inhabitants living in rural areas and not in the big cities. And there could be autonomous driving, a solution where the public transport is not painful, something like this. So thinking in wider perspective, thinking from consumer perspective, and then I think especially the ideas from the whole digitization in the question of AI and so on would be helpful to make driving more secure, more sustainable, and also more excitable for people.
Yeah, it's such a good point to think outside the big cities. I think anyone who has ever waited for that twice daily bus in a small village can see the appeal of bringing more autonomous driving to the villages. We've got another question here from Manoy Akundi. Hope I'm saying that right. Thank you for the question. He'd like to know, first he says very good viewpoints and he thanks you. And he says, I'd love to know your opinion on the future of sustainable software-led business and mobility, given that SDVs are in the process of going mainstream, but business models are still to be formalized. So the question is your opinion on the future of sustainable software-led business in mobility. Thanks, Manoy.
Sure. I think that's one side of the medal. The other is the whole driving the car, the supply chain process. And the other side is, as I mentioned, the possibility of the perspective you also mentioned with your question. It's very important for the future car, for the perspective of the customer, and also to optimize the processes we have. So in every piece of the lifetime of a car, we have to think this.
Yeah, thinking about that lifetime. Looking ahead to the IAA Mobility 2025 in Munich, which you certainly whet our appetites for a little earlier in your talk, give us a sneak preview about what new trends and technologies you think are going to be particularly highlighted there. What can we look forward to?
At the end, I mentioned, I think it's for example, to connect different parts of mobility. We also have an area for micro-mobility. We have bicycles. We have we are talking in the whole phase of mobility, people living and thinking in that. That's one part of the IAA. The other is the B2B experience in the Munich Fairground, where we bring together all experts, the OEMs or the suppliers. We want to bring the people together to discuss these things together to make it also very exciting and to be inspired for everybody who is there. And then we can see all the upcoming trends in the automotive industry, from driving solutions over AI, over the possibility of autonomous driving and whatever. So it's a place to be for thinking of the future of mobility.
I love that you brought up those sideline conversations that are often happening off the main stage. They're so important, forging those personal connections. We've got another question. This is coming to us from Rainer Langhammer. Thank you for the question, Rainer. He says, Dear Ms. Müller, how is global decarbonization supposed to succeed if the focus is now shifting back to levying tariffs on cars and other goods, as announced in the U.S. election campaign? So with this focus on tariffs, how are we supposed to focus on global decarbonization?
At the end of the day, I think we are in a process that's not stoppable. When we are still committed to the climate goals, and the thing wherever I am, also in the United States, the people are committed to. And for example, when you have an idea of another branch, when you look at this, the wind and the solar industry in Texas, Texas is not a state in the United States, which you look will be the most leading state in the United States for sustainable energy. It has a clear tradition with coal and so on. But they change if their possibility of a business model, they change when you convince from the advantages. And that must be. I think we have to inspire the people not working with things. We forbid you everything. We have to inspire people. We have to invest in innovations and future technologies. I mean, when you look at the development of the automotive industry and the long processes we have, it's always on top on research. We invest a lot of money in research as the German automotive industry for sustainable driving, not only, for example, the driving process, the whole supply chain for us. We have to decarbonize from the first production up to the what happens with the car at the end of the life and so on. And thinking these, there are new business models, there are new opportunities. And that are possibilities when we combine it with welfare in the countries. I think that we convince the people that it's not only necessary, but it's also a good advantage for us to be on top on the movement.
Yeah, seeing the opportunities. We've got another question from Daniel Fair. He asks, how can European vehicle manufacturers expand their expertise in the field of software and connected vehicles? And what role do cooperations with technology companies play in this? So how European vehicle manufacturers can expand their expertise in software and connected vehicles? Frau Müller.
I mean, there are different ways. They are sometimes are doing the research on themselves. Others are like corporations. That's, for example, the reason why we bring together this scene on the IAA Mobility. We have the startups thinking of this. We bring them together with OEM suppliers who have the experience of scaling and so on. At the end of the day, Every company has to find its own way. We are working on framework condition as association, for example. They have openness to new technologies, to get a competitive framework in Europe, to have, for example, the law perspective that is needed to develop, especially when we talk about the new data processes and so on. And so at the end of the day, it's a competitiveness of cooperation or doing things on your own. I think every company has to decide it, but that we have to do this, that's not a question. We have to do this. It's the overall clear perspective of my companies.
Absolutely. Here's a question from Shaluka, who is asking, what about the environmental impact from the mining of materials used for batteries and reusability, the cradle-to-cradle concept of them, and the environmental rucksack? Perhaps you can speak on that a little bit.
Yeah, that's why we intensify our efforts in all the question of circular economy. We are thinking about to have substitutions for raw materials. We are thinking about second life of materials, of batteries, and so on, to make the what I mentioned, the whole process more sustainable, not only the driving, not only the machine. I think the whole life cycle of the car must be more and more committed to climate protection. And that's why we intensify our research, especially in these things. I think 85% of the car is recyclable at right now, and we work to make it better like it is today. And especially for the raw materials, that we have to be careful to find solutions for substitution processes of them. When I was at least at different technology meetings we have, I'm convinced there's so much in the head of our engineers, and there are so many ideas and solutions preparing up. And that's, as I mentioned, circular economy. It's one of our field.
Yeah, circular economy is so important, and we really appreciate that question and all of the questions. Thank you so much for participating. Pramila, before we let you get back to your busy day, a question from me, perhaps, to round things out. What is your personal vision for the future of mobility in 10, 20, 30 years?
Mobility connects people, and that's, I think, is our main topic, to think about the different consumer perspectives, to give the customers the opportunity and the possibility to make their life as easy as possible with the best climate protection mobility. I think that's my vision, to work on this process. And there we need different solutions in different areas. We have to be open. We have to invest in research and innovations. And I'm convinced there will be great opportunities, great developments in the future. So I'm happy to be a part of this development at the moment. When I think of my daughter, I think we all have, we are all forced to do our best to make this mobility more sustainable in the future.
Absolutely. It's a collective responsibility. I'm so pleased to hear your enthusiasm and your excitement for this. Thank you so much for being our inaugural guest here on the IAA Mobility Visionary Club's kickoff. It has been my pleasure hosting you. I am looking forward to the talks to come. Pramila, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much to our viewers for the insightful questions. And I hope to see you next month for another exciting episode of the IAA Mobility Visionary Club. I'm Sarah Harmon, and I will see you next month. Take care.